From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farm and Country. It's Saturday, September 27th. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. From sweet and mild to spicy and hot, the first annual Pepper Fest kicks off in Damascus, Pennsylvania. We sat down with Anna B. Ott and Irene Soloway, who are part of the Pepper Fest Planning Committee, to learn what folks can expect. And yes, we saw, we smelled, and we tasted some peppers.
This is Naga Viper. And you can tell by the name, right?
Yeah.
That it's going to bite you in the tongue.
Spicy.
Yeah, look at that.
That's in our first half of today's show. In the second half, some trail activity along the Catskills. Radio Catskills' Annie Bennett chats with Bannerman Castle Trust about the state of repairs following a state grant they received. Plus, Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report. But first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Trump wants the Supreme Court to settle the dispute over his executive order that would limit birthright citizenship. The Trump administration is appealing lower court rulings and is urging the high court to take up the case in its new term that begins October 6. The American Civil Liberties Union says the executive order is unconstitutional. Speaking to reporters before leaving the White House Friday for the Ryder Cup golf tournament, President Trump sought to blame Democrats if there is a government shutdown next week.
Democrats want to shut it down. And they want to shut it down because they want to give billions, ultimately trillions of dollars to illegal migrants, people that came into our country illegally.
Lawmakers face a deadline to pass legislation to keep the government funded past September 30th. The medical group Doctors Without Borders is suspending all of its operations in Gaza City, saying it has no choice as the group's facilities are surrounded by Israeli military forces. NPR's Anas Baba reports from Gaza City that the closure leaves hundreds of thousands of people with almost no access to health care.
Here in Gaza City, the sound of sirens and Israeli artillery is nearly constant. Médecins Sans Frontières decided to suspend its operations here after the organization said Israeli forces moved within hundreds of meters of its clinics. That makes 28 health centers which have shut down or suspended operations in Gaza City this month. Among them, the only functioning pediatric hospital because of Israel's latest ground offensive there. MSF says its staff could no longer work safely or guarantee even basic treatment for patients with burns, trauma wounds, or newborns in critical care. The organization is urgently calling for guarantees of safe access for humanitarian workers. Anas Baba, NPR News, Gaza City.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is expected to meet with President Trump at the White House on Monday. Stocks lost ground this week despite some positive economic data. NPR Scott Horsley reports that all of the major stock indexes ended the week in the red.
Consumer spending is the biggest driver of the U.S. economy, and consumers have not stopped spending yet. A report from the Commerce Department shows personal spending jumped more than 0.5% in August. Revised figures show spending in April, May, and June was also stronger than initially reported. Spending on housing is still in a slump, though. Sales of existing homes fell in August, even as sales of new homes jumped. Mortgage rates inched up this week to an average of 6.3% on a 30-year loan. For the week, the Dow slipped 0.1%, the S&P 500 index fell 0.3%, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ dropped 0.2%. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
And you're listening to NPR News.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Patricio Roballo. This week, world leaders gathered in Manhattan for New York City Climate Week, tackling one of the most urgent global issues, climate change. But the fight against rising temperatures and extreme weather isn't just happening in the city. Across New York State, scientists, advocates, and policymakers are rolling out local solutions to cut emissions, protect vulnerable communities, and reimagine infrastructure for a warming world. Reporter Annie Bennett has more.
Representatives from around the world met in Manhattan for New York Climate Week. But across the state as well, groups are working to combat climate change.
I was in New York yesterday
attending a meeting with people who are in for the UN General Session from all over the world. I mean, this is a global issue. Climate change is kind of a major, I don't use the term existential that often, but this is an existential threat. Hi, Dr. Alonzo Plow. I'm Vice President, Chief Science Officer, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Princeton, New Jersey.
Dr. Plow's foundation is dedicated to public health and says that extreme weather events caused by global warming are a major community risk.
The Northeast has to worry about hurricanes that come ashore on our coast having flooding implications far inland. It's a season where we have to be very vigilant, but they're more frequent and stronger because of global warming.
For more news, visit WJFFradio.org. Listen to Radio Chatskill weekdays at 10 a.m. and the local edition weekdays at 6. In Liberty, I'm Patricio Robayo for Radio Catskill.
NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is NPR.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow West Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. So you may have heard, but next Saturday, October 4th, it's going to be the first annual Pepperfest. This is a new festival in Damascus, Pennsylvania, celebrating the love of peppers in the Upper Delaware River Valley. I headed down to Tyler Hill, Pennsylvania earlier this week, where the Pepperfest Planning Committee just wrapped up breakfast and planning for the event. When I tell you this is a group that was quite literally tingling with so much excitement, I am like really trying not to be cheeky. I'm not joking. There was so much joy and excitement for this work and for planning this new festival. And I sat down with committee members Irene Soloway and Anna B. Ott to get some behind the scenes planning for this upcoming event. In Irene Soloway's garden in Wayne County, Pennsylvania, there's bright orange marigolds, sunflowers, and towards the back, lots and lots of peppers.
This is Pepper Joe, which is a sweet pepper. It's actually, we had it in our frittata this morning. I don't know if you noticed it. It's very, very sweet. It's like candy sweet. And so that's going to be for the zero level, mm-hmm. for the you
oh,
know.
Okay. Oh, this one's zero.
Yeah, you don't have to be brave to do do it. We encourage people to, even if they start with one, zero, you know, and maybe go to zero to one.
She and a few of her neighbors are organizing the first annual Pepperfest on Saturday, October 4th. Irene Soloway and Anna B. Ott are two of the event organizers and pepper growers themselves. When they first started growing peppers, they said they had no idea what they were getting into when they started their journey. But that's the fun of it. We sat around the kitchen table with coffee and breakfast, along with other members of the planning committee. Here is some of that conversation.
I'm Irene Soloway. I've been in Tyler Hill since 1991, and we started a garden, had no idea that it would be a mostly digging of rocks and fending off animals, and discovered that peppers were actually easy to grow up here, and the little rodents and groundhogs and just weren't interested. So peppers became our main crop.
I'm Anna. I'm actually a painter, but I've been growing peppers since COVID, actually. That's what it started, 2020, on my balcony in Bucks County. And since then, I've been experimenting this. At one point, I had like 20 different varieties, and they're doing very well because I had lots of sun. But once we moved here 2 years ago, I'm trying to grow peppers here. I find it a little bit challenging because our property has a lot of shade in it, but I'm adjusting my practice, so hopefully next year we'll have better results anyway. But peppers are fun, and it brings people together. We just love it.
I was really excited to interview you both because peppers for me are exactly what you said. Like, they're so fun because it's kind of like a surprise, right? Like, it could be very mild or it could be very spicy. Mm-hmm. And then it's also like it's like a staple ingredient, right, that is used around the world. Yeah. I'm curious, you know, you both talked about how you got into your pepper gardening journey. Tell me a little bit about what it's like growing from seed to harvest, kind of what that process is like.
To me, when I originally started, I went just to Home Depot and got like different seeds. And then we have a friend who's been teaching hot peppers at the Chicago Botanical Gardens for years. And he's like, what are you growing? Like, how a penny you can buy it in a store? I'm like, I don't know any hot peppers. So he sent us some like very interesting peppers like chili de aqua, the breast, and like really also not super hot, the sheep nose. Is there a sheep nose?
Oh, the sheep nose, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool pepper. So I tried that, and next year I discovered those websites where you can buy seeds like Pepper Joe and chili hot peppers. So I ordered and like, over-ordered 20 different.
Like, amazing.
And also some, like when you order, they give you actually Schohill. And I'm looking at the peppers. They look amazing. Colors, shapes, like insane.
Well, we actually started out with actually small plants. We went to a place called chiliplants.com in New Jersey, where pretty much the sun seems to shine a lot more, and got very small plants and nurtured them. That's how we started out because it's such a short season here. But as we started growing them, there were certain peppers that we really loved. And so then if they really did well, then we started saving the seed. And then now we're actually starting more from seed. And there is a particular pepper that we're really, really proud of that actually came over, the seeds of which came over from Bhutan in the pocket of a Bhutanese Buddhist Lama, and was given to us to grow for him. Because he couldn't stay in the area for too long without this particular Bhutan pepper. And we grew that pepper from seed, and it turned into this amazing, wonderful pepper that we felt like we nurtured, you know. And we couldn't find it anywhere in chiliplants.com. Didn't have it. None of the other seed companies had it. So growing from seed is something very special because you can actually, with our terroir, our land, and our climate, we see what does well, and then we keep that going.
Listening to you describe this growing of the Bhutanese pepper, it makes me also think about how gardening is an act of like preservation as well, which I think is really beautiful.
Around this time, I started thinking, well, let's check out some peppers.
And so it's kind of starting here, is the sweeter ones, and going down to the more powerful ones. Most peppers start out green. And some of them go like green, green, purple, yellow, red,
orange. Yeah. And actually they change their taste and heat level with the when they change the color.
Oh.
We had our favorite pepper is Aji Gold Limon, and when it's green, it's so like, it almost tastes like soap. It's very strange taste. But when it's get like bright yellow, then it's so perfumey. It's like very fruity, but also it's really good heat, but then it's also very like really amazing. No, it's kind of sweet, but it's very hard to describe the taste. It's kind of sweet and it's very aromatic. It's very pleasant.
This one is beautiful. Sarit Ga, which is it's actually from Kosovo.
Oh, wow.
It's a cayenne type, and it's described as having citrus, fruity flavor tones and an upfront burn. So some peppers have the back burn, right, and some has the front burn, and some have the middle burn. So this, right, it's just really,
it's fascinating.
So it's like, does the burn overwhelm the other notes? And that's the kind of thing we're going to be exploring.
From fiery red tones to soft yellow bell-shaped peppers, The crew is preparing a variety of peppers from around the world for the inaugural Pepper Fest. One pepper had a name to match its fire.
This is Naga Viper. And you can tell by the name, right?
Yeah.
That it's going to bite you in the on the
she
tongue.
Spicy.
Yeah, look at that. And you look like you're ready for that.
Oh, no. I'm a mild pepper baby.
So we're going to have a good selection. And oh, I love it because it's so wrinkled. Yeah. And it's like almost evil.
it does.
Yeah. And that was actually created in the UK, the Naga Viper.
This should be spicy to its meal, but
this was a three-way cross between a Buchalakia, which is a ghost pepper, Trinidad scorpion, mm-hmm. and a Naga Morich. So this was created by an English person. So peppers go, you know, they travel.
They're all around the world.
Yeah, they travel. And let's see.
Uh-huh. And which ones are these?
This is, it's called Jaloro. It's actually a jalapeno, but it was hybridized in Texas with the Agricultural Extension in 1992. And it's actually, instead of most jalapenos are green, this one is yellow, and it's has thicker skin, and it's actually fruitier.
Wow.
So, and it seems to be very productive here. And like when we were talking about growing peppers in this particular region, we find out because there's so much variety of peppers. I mean, international. There's
no see just in this bag.
Yeah.
So many different types.
So we learn like, well, this one seems to be doing really well in this area. So this one is a real keeper.
Pepperfest is expected to be packed with flavor. There will be a potluck with different dishes peppered with peppers, and a guided pepper tasting, from sweet and mild to hot and spicy. Irene and Anna say they've designed the tasting to be accessible for everyone.
And we're not, this is not a macho contest.
No,
it's not about how, you know, how hot can you go and how much can you suffer. It's really just it's an exploration.
Yeah.
And we want people to actually take the time to really experience each one.
Absolutely. And learn that it's not just peppers and not only about the heat. There's so much more about the hot peppers than just heat.
Pepperfest will be a donation-based event, with all proceeds going to the Volunteer Ambulance, Fire Department, and Damascus Manor Community Center. The festival will be on October 4th from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Damascus Township Park Pavilion, rain or shine. In Tyler Hill, Pennsylvania, I'm Kimberly Izar for Radio Catskill. Thank you so much to Irene, Anna, Alex, Andrea, and Paula, who are all part of the planning committee that I met that morning. Don't forget to join them next Saturday, October 4th, at the Damascus Township Park Pavilion. Up next, you know what time it is, this week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Recently, NASA's Perseverance rover made an exciting discovery on Mars. It discovered minerals embedded in rocks. On Earth, the minerals have been created by microbial activity. NASA's acting administrator said this could be the clearest sign of life ever found on Mars. If the minerals were formed by microbes, they lived billions of years ago when Mars was warmer and wetter. Perseverance discovered the minerals in Jezero Crater, a 28-mile-wide crater that is near the Martian equator. Jezero Crater was once a lake, and the rover landed there to study how the region formed and evolved, search for signs of past life, and to collect samples of Martian rocks and soil. Microbes living on a wet Mars would have lived in mud and ate organic matter. This organic matter would react with the mud, and the byproduct of the reaction will be the minerals that were discovered. It is possible that these minerals were created without microbes. Heat would need to be involved, and the rocks do not appear to be heated. The only way to know for sure how the minerals were formed would be to return a sample to Earth. Luckily, Perseverance was designed to have the capability to collect rock and soil samples to be returned to Earth. NASA has a plan for a Mars sample return mission, but no date has been announced. In the meantime, Perseverance will continue to explore Jezero Crater and collect samples. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future StarTalk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and StarTalk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Trail repairs across the Catskills are underway. New York State Parks, Trails, Historic Sites, and Public Lands partner organizations awarded $1.7 million in grants to organizations back in March to promote the state's goal of healthy recreation. But here's the catch. They don't actually receive any money until after the project is complete. And they're required to match some of the grant money through private donors. A 2023 grant winner, Bannerman Castle Trust, just recently filed their update to the state. The trust spoke with Radio Catskills' Annie Bennett about the state of the repairs and the application process for this particular grant. Annie brings us this report.
Hi, my name is Kelly Ellenwood. I'm the Deputy Executive Director of the Bannerman Castle Trust. We have a pretty intense mission, but I could read it for you to you verbatim. So the Bannerman Castle Trust, Inc. is a not-for-profit friends organization of volunteers working with the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. The trust is dedicated to bringing together resources and funding to stabilize the buildings on Pelepel Island. The trust raises awareness and educates the public and government organizations on the value and history of the island. The trust raises funds for repairing the island and creating a master plan and eventually stabilizing the structures, which we are working on right now. The trust is working to make the island safe for volunteers and for the public to enjoy as an educational, cultural, historical, and recreational facility, promoting heritage tourism in the Hudson Valley.
Tell me about the grant you won in the spring from the Parks and Trails Department.
Well, we did trail rehabilitation, but we had a small grant, relatively. We only got $20,000. We're an historic site. There are rugged trails. We had railings installed to help people get up the stairs and down the stairs, just a bit of a little accessibility boost, which is really important on Bannerman Island because everybody should be able to visit that can. That's sort of our overarching goal, but for this grant, we could only do some of it. Most of what the grant was for was to pay for the installation of the black wrought iron railings, and they look great. They're in. We just got them put in at the end of August.
And how was the application process?
Well, I'm a good grant writer, so it's very precise, you know, because you don't know who's going to be looking at these grant applications. They might not have ever been to Bannerman Island. They might be from someplace in a different part of the state. So you have to really show them what you are and what you've done and the scope of what you've accomplished and that you can get these things done. You know, there's a range of funds that are available, and you have a project and they will give you half the money, the Greenway Trail grant. You get, it's very granular, but what's great is that they do give you credit for volunteer work. And we have a lot of, I actually just had to file a rescope because we were not able to do all the things that we had hoped.
How did you decide what to ask for?
We asked for two things, actually, because we also restored the dining room and the residence, but we didn't get the funding for that. But we got the trail work grant, which is good. Because trail work, actually, you don't want to alter something too much. And ours are historic. They were there already. So we have a little bit different than if somebody wants to make a new trail. It's a big knot to untie the trail work because there's just so much that has to be done.
And you all matched the grant money for some additional improvements, right? Tell me about that.
We cleaned everything up. We did some of the work. We did like the basic kind of pulling, because we have a lot of vegetation. We did all that, and we assessed, and we put some safety sign, and we put up trail markers. I mean, we did all that stuff. But the grant money is only going towards the railings and a portion of the masonry that had to be done. Very small, very specific. What happened is that because we had to spend so much more on the railings, we just couldn't finish the job. I mean, we have to spend another probably $50,000, and that's not going to happen.
From Liberty, I'm Annie Bennett for Radio Catskill.
Thank you so much to Annie for that report. Speaking of trails, I was actually, I was on the trails. I was taking myself on a nice solo hike last weekend at the Van Scott Nature Reserve in Beech Lake, Pennsylvania. And if you didn't know, it's actually the headquarters of the Delaware Highlands Conservancy, who we've had on Farming Country before. But the reserve actually has several accessible walking trails available to the general public. We're going to pivot a little bit on Farming Country. We're going to try something new, and we're going to step away from the bustle of the day. Maybe close your eyes if that feels accessible to you, and listen to an audio postcard at the Van Scott Nature Reserve.
So, as I'm learning, there is a part in the Explorer Trail where the trail intersects with another trail called the Woodland Trail. I think it's about a little over half a mile, but it takes you into the wooded areas of the preserve, and it's a nice break from the sun if you get warm like I do. And it's mid-September, so there's actually quite a bit of leaves on the ground already, and it's really beautiful. Okay, we're out of the wooded trail and back on the Explorer Trail, making my way up a bit of an incline. Thought that this trail was going to be a little bit more flat, but as I'm learning, good thing I wore shoes that were a little bit more heavy duty. Back at the parking lot. Highly recommend. The reserve has so many different trails and routes you can take. I ended up like not going at all on the trail that I had planned on. Ended up on a completely different trail, which I think is the fun of hiking sometimes, especially when it's beautiful and it's still bright out, so you don't have to worry about getting back on time. But yeah, would definitely recommend the Van Scott Nature Reserve in Beech Lake, Wayne County, Pennsylvania. It's 144 acres. And let me know if you want me to do more of these little trail walks more often. Okay, see you next time.
Before we sign off, just a few things coming up from our community calendar. Tomorrow, Farm Arts Collective and Gale Roots Farm will be hosting a workshop called Understanding Food Labels, a workshop for consumers. They're going to dive into the differences between free range versus cage free versus pasture raised. I even sometimes use them interchangeably, but they're going to dive into all of this and kind of how to understand your food products. September 28th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's pay what you can at the doors. And you heard it here earlier on the show. Next Saturday is Pepperfest in Damascus, Pennsylvania. And that is on October 4th. You can find the information and registration details for all of these events and other events happening in your community on our website, wjffradio.org. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it's Travels with Triggs. You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, NPR. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors. Celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail, morgan-outdoors.com.